This is so. I wanna say to go.
Okay.
Never say goodbye.
No.
Never say goodbye.
No. Ah! I just come in with the hook. It's all good.
No matter how hard I try.
All right, we're done. I'm sorry.
No. I was jamming.
I'm feeling this. I think we should turn this thing into a boy band. Let's go.
Welcome back to Enjoy the Podcast. I am your host, Jared Brady. I am joined with Lovely Los and JD's Gems. And we got a special guest in the building, or really outside. We got
on the property.
Yeah, on the property. We got Chris Morrison.
Hey. How's everybody doing tonight?
If you don't know who Chris Morrison is, he is married to Lauren Morrison.
That's my claim to fame.
Lovely Lauren.
That's my claim to fame. She is a
chef, Lauren.
Chef extraordinaire, the light of my life.
Ooh.
Hey, that's nice.
I got to say, I think you're the first person besides Los who has an actual voice built for podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That is nice. I'm not going to lie. I'm enjoying it.
I'm
really
like
emulating you guys. So you guys do it really well. So happy to be here.
I think his voice is actually better. I'll give it
tonight.
To you. You got that, man.
Don't worry. You can sing better than me, Los.
Give it
to Chris. I'm going to give you a toast.
I'm sorry. That was
it's
lovely.
Still processing.
I'm still like, man.
Lovely Chris.
You know what? Stay with me, gentlemen.
Whoa. You don't even need that blanket. It's hot already.
You know what you reminded me of right now? You tuned into The Quiet Storm.
It really is about that, right?
Can you just say, coming up next, we're going to bring the smooth vibes of, and insert whatever artist you like.
Coming up next, we're going to bring you the smooth vibes of James Brown.
Hey.
Whatever you're doing in life right now, you're wasting your talent.
100%.
Some may disagree, but let's see.
I would say he has a pretty.
But if you're offering a deal.
I'm just saying.
If you're offering a deal.
You're missing your calling, sir.
You're like a non-homeless, drug-addicted version of that guy that they found on the side of the road years ago. Remember him? He was a homeless guy, and he had a voice of gold. And
Oh,
right.
You're like him, except not homeless and on drugs.
Appreciate that.
How did your thing come off?
I was just trying to make sure I was in the right.
He's
area.
Trying to make sure his voice is right because Chris is.
No, I feel I'm like, yo,
he's
I'm
getting
like,
kind of
like,
insecure about
yeah,
it.
No, I'm like, hold on, let me make sure I'm talking onto the right side of the mic real quick. Hold on, Chris came through with the.
You're doing well. You're
with
doing
the vocals.
I feel better now. Thanks.
Thanks for
reassuring me.
Chris, it's a pleasure to have you on, sir. Looking forward to this episode.
Yeah,
pleasure to be here.
Joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
And kudos to specifically Chris and I because we are two men drinking red wine on a white couch. So
absolutely.
Cheers to not spilling.
Sure, y'all brave.
Real brave.
First class in.
Kick your ass.
Professional wine drinker.
So today we are going to be talking about arguments.
Yep.
In a couple different tiers.
Yep.
What are you looking at?
Looking at you.
Looking at you.
Is audio all good?
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I knew. See, I was keen in. I was
checking it out.
Hello.
Hey. I was hot for sure.
I
could hear myself. Oh, there it is. I could hear myself distorting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. But everybody sounds good.
Or
now.
Chris
Nobody's
is just
distorting.
So much better than you.
It could be that too. Could be that too.
Guys, it's not about that. We're all here together. Just being cool.
Yo,
why don't you just let Chris lead this whole?
Honestly, can
episode.
We just give you a book and you can just read to us?
Yeah,
like, I'm cool with that. That's cool.
Pause.
I will spill the wine on this couch.
Hey, man. Look.
Pay it forward, gentlemen. I'll be happy to help you when I get there.
Hey.
Yo.
What the fuck are we talking about today?
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Right, let's get in there. Arguments.
Okay.
Bringing it back.
Okay. What is your first thoughts when you hear the word arguments?
I'm right and you're wrong.
He's
That's my
be
first
single
thought.
For a while.
I didn't say it was the right thought. I just said you said first
I said
thought.
First thought.
There it is. I'm right, you're wrong.
My first thought is used to it.
Ooh.
That's Chris. Problematic.
My first thought is more along the lines of Los.
Yeah, that's my guy.
If I'm being honest.
That's my guy.
Be honest.
I am in that space often. So I have to check myself though.
Yeah,
and that's the point of us talking about this because I think we're gonna get into some stuff here, and you know, I'm gonna sign a waiver,
just
to make sure none of this can and will be used against me in any sort of court of law.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta sign a waiver with Lauren.
You all know who I'm married to, so, and she's very good at arguing.
Yeah,
so it makes it very interesting.
But, so is my wife.
Yeah,
she is. She's.
So wait, what's your first thought?
Please no.
Please no.
Yeah, please
like,
no.
Like N-O, not K-N-O-W.
Yeah. Please no. Like, no arguments. No, please. I'll just figure this out. Do you often equate arguments with your relationship? Or is it just in general when you hear it? Because I hear relationships.
Where do you argue the most at?
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I argue the most in relationships, but I'm opposite of you, Jay. Like, I am very confrontational. I love confrontation. I thrive in it. Yeah. I'm not proud of it, but I do not run from it at
all.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm with you there. I'd rather.
Let's hash this out right now.
Yeah. I'd rather run to the pain than run around it.
Right.
But doesn't it get to a point where you realize it may be a bit of a self-defeating prophecy? If you continue
to
push the issue, even if you're right, are you going to be happy?
That's something that I have problems with is once I've made my point, once I've, you know.
Just keep going.
I have to like. You know, I've already won the battle, but now I'm just like coming through and like, all right, now we're gonna take your house and your car. And like I'm just like adding, like, yeah, I told you I was right. Like, get that rightness. You feel that correctness? Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said, like when you are, and I've learned this the hard way, when you're so confrontational in a disagreement, in an argument, that other person just feels defeated.
Yeah.
See, that was me.
And it takes away the victory for me.
Yeah.
You know? Because now I feel like I'm kicking you while you're down.
Yeah.
And I feel you there. Like, I don't do that with everybody. I should say, like, with the people I love, I don't want to do that to them. Yeah. Like, if it was y'all, I wouldn't want to, like, rub your face in it, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody who, like, for instance, for me, I argue more in professional settings, which doesn't sound professional, but for what I do, you know, working in creative industries and, you know, stuff like that, a good argument is healthy. Like, you need that as part of the process. But a lot of times, or I shouldn't say a lot of times, but in some instances, I've come back and let that person know, like, yo, remember that argument that we had about XYZ? Well, look here, motherfucker. Let me spell it out for you how I was right. Like, in those instances, sometimes I want to flex. I want to let them know, like, I told you, but you didn't want to listen to me.
With people
that I love, I don't want to. I told you so with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like you said, then it doesn't feel good.
Well, let me ask you: how do you turn that switch off? Because I don't know how to turn it off.
See that you know goes back to my original. Like, I know arguments.
Yeah.
When they could spark a beast in me that I don't necessarily like.
Right.
So like whenever like someone is trying to teeter me into arguments, I'm like, please no.
It's the opposite
like,
of enjoy.
Don't do it because just like you, I'm very confrontational. I mean, it's on the podcast. Everyone sees it. I'll speak my opinion and I will stand on that. And it brings out a warrior almost in me. That I'm like, I gotta just stay away from the arguments. I gotta figure out another way to communicate. Mm-hmm. We have to communicate when we're all down.
But what if you were to have the tools to argue effectively?
Exactly.
Or what if you had Chris's voice while arguing?
See, that's a part of it.
Because I don't even know what you're saying right now, Doc. I'm so encapsulated by this audio coming through my ears right now.
You guys,
how do people argue
hey,
with
can you?
You
turn me up real quick? Because I feel like my voice is not coming through like
not everybody. Nobody feels secure right now.
Can you turn my mic up?
It doesn't matter.
You guys are making me check burgundy.
Check. Blushing. All right, there we go. Now I feel.
But I get a good check real quick. Hold on.
Check.
Feel good.
Check.
I feel a little hot.
Check.
You are loud.
I'm hot.
You are loud.
Oh, yes, he's hot.
Check.
Close. I just like saying the name.
How about now?
But to your point, Chris.
Chris, say it again. I cut you off. My bad.
No, I was just going to say, do you have the tools to argue effectively so that you can, you know, you can still be up here and demonstrate the emotion because generally you're in a position, usually in an argument, where you're trying to convey something you're passionate about. And then to take it down all the time, you don't have the time to do that before your point may lose some of its, some of its let's say, heat.
Yeah.
And some of its delivery and so, and passion. So I argue for a living as well.
Yeah.
It's similar to Lowe's, but in a different, I'm in Fortune 100 business.
Yeah.
And I am chief negotiator in contract. So all I do is argue. And when I think about the most effective negotiations that I have, it's really appreciating the other side. Put yourself in their shoes. And then if you can do that, that's hard.
That's beautiful.
In a relationship, it's beautiful talk.
Yeah.
But actually, I get to sit down and practice it, and I get to write out my, I brought my notebook, but you guys laughed me off the stage. I had brought my notebook out, but you know, generally what I try to do is take a moment. Write down a few things if you can. Sometimes it's hot in the moment.
Yeah.
But if it's an important enough argument,
yeah.
Parenting, sex, future, where you're going to live. Mm. Take a moment, write it down, and then break it down, and then develop a strategy to come back at it that shows you're being thoughtful and shows you're taking the time. But
Chris, let me ask you. Sure. I was told a long time ago that the sign of a good negotiation is that neither party leaves happy.
That is
fully happy, right?
That's so old school.
How true do you think that statement is?
I disagree with that. It's old school mentality.
Yeah, for sure. An old person told me.
You know, now, you know, what does win-win look like? Mm-hmm. We take a moment, and if you put yourself in that mindset, in my world, paying a little more may not be a good thing, but if you get what you want, both parties are winning, and you've got like a long-term arrangement that sees mutual profitability happening.
Right.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Put that in the context of relationships.
Right.
You know, what does win-win look like in this in this setting? Mm-hmm. You're going to be right.
Yeah.
You know, the car should have been parked. You know, she should have brought the keys in. You're right. But if you keep hitting that point, you're going to be in trouble. So I think you just you need to think about that before you go all in. Never don't give up, right? Because I think generally, and I'm not going to speak for women, but I will say we appreciate a dialogue and an exchange with a partner that shows that you're invested in the relationship and not just a passenger.
Yeah.
So they want to know you're there, and I want to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gotta.
That's beautifully said.
I also I got this from a mentor of mine who said the best way to listen to somebody is with the intention of repeating it to someone else. Okay. So furthermore,
it's interesting. I've never heard that.
If you guys are telling me a story, right, the best way for me to retain it is to think I'm going to go teach it to someone else. Mm-hmm. Watch how much you soak
retain,
in and retain that information. So I will continue to practice that, but I will will implement.
It's hard.
It is hard, but JD, because of JD's personality, I was like, that's got to be torture for JD.
I was going to say, it is a daily struggle. But also, to you, Chris, to your point, I will definitely implement that. I actually, I've done that a couple of times where I've taken notes is where I'm going. I've taken notes in the middle of an argument. I, however, need to take a page from your book, no pun intended, and get an actual book and write it down because I was taking notes in my phone.
Ooh, you're going to look pessimistic on her. Like
my wife was like, this is not important.
I mean, patronizing.
Like, no, I get my notes. She was like,
her notes, my notes.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because I was like, it looked like I was texting.
Yeah, no, sure.
Yeah,
doing
sure.
whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so, but that's really good because as I have learned the hard way, continue to learn the hard way, two things. The loudest loses. And the other thing is, per Esther Perel.
She's
Michael
amazing.
Jordan of therapy.
She's amazing.
Marital therapy specifically. She says.
No, she's amazing. Yeah.
She says, you're either going to be right all the time or you're going to be married. Gentlemen who are married here.
There you go.
That
Where's
is the truth.
Lie?
That is the truth. You know what?
Married men and one right one.
Oh. Exactly. You know what I noticed too? I noticed like when I started to check in with my like little triggers when I know I'm starting to get hot, I know I'm getting really mad if I start to get real quiet. If I start to talk like very slow and very quiet, I know like I need to take a break from this conversation.
You further understand.
What are some things that you notice in yourself? Like you're like, oh, I'm starting to kick up.
So for me, I actually I have diagnosed my my two main reasons as to why I get hot. I'll just go for lack of a better term. Number one is when I feel like I can't speak. Like when I feel like I can't get my words out to you. It's a big problem.
Like you're saying that in the sense of you're not able to get the words out,
someone
or you're
keeps
being
cutting me off, like you right now.
No, that's not. That's what I wanted to know. Is it is it a getting cut off thing, or is it that you can't find the words?
It's So that's a great question. It's when you're cutting me off. It's not even so much when I'm, you know, trying to find my words. But the other thing is, when I feel like you're not respecting what I'm saying, like you're listening to reply as opposed to listening to understand to me. And that's a big problem, because I'm like, did you even hear what I just said? I know, but, and I'm like, you already let me know you didn't, because you are so eager to reply as opposed to responding. But that's my two reasons.
But would you say that guys are generally affected by that even more than women are?
Which part?
Do we listen to reply? Do we listen to understand?
That was going to be my follow-up question.
Oh,
yeah.
We 100% listen to reply.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is that mirror effect.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They say whatever really truly bothers you to the core is actually something you want to change about yourself.
I think that's fair.
I definitely don't leave tea bags in the sink.
Jared and I, the inside joke, brothers-in-law, tea bags in the sink.
Yeah,
please
yeah.
don't do it.
Don't tea bag.
But no, but no, I think you're right, Chris. I mean, men. I think actually, in general, I think people are naturally defensive.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I don't think it's a male thing. I think that's an us thing. I think that's just a human condition. Yeah. I think that's something that
it's
we all
knee-jerk
do.
It's a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah, we don't listen all the time, like you say, to hear. We listen to defend our position, or we're listening to find our next salvo from within what that person's saying. We're looking for something that we can grab onto. Right. Like, well, no, you're not right because X, Y, Z that you just said.
Right.
And this is where the tools come in. Because
hit us with some tools. Bust out the notebook, Chris.
Please get the notebook. Come on now. No, but it's really, depending on the negotiation theory you subscribe to, some of the more modern negotiation training, really, just when you listen, you're looking for, again, that mutual solution. So before you respond to defend, think about what's beneficial to the other party in the conversation. And then your response should be geared to that. And you also have to think about your own interests, right?
I was going
to
say, because doesn't that come across as too selfless?
You know,
no, but
you
he's responding off of, like, he knows what she's going to want out of the argument. He knows what he wants out of the argument. So he's going to shape his argument to be able to get her what she wants while still getting what he wants.
So let's take this into real talk, gents, because
let's get real for a second.
Dumb it down for me.
You know, I'll share a little bit first, and then, of course, the whole audience will hear this. But anyway, so I'll start with probably one of the most tumultuous arguments that I've ever had, and that is when I was looking to end my first marriage. And, you know, I got to a point where the, you know, my now ex-wife was, you know, we didn't have a mutual alignment of wants. You know, what's the legal term? Irreconcilable differences, right? And the list stacks up. And I did exactly as I said to you, JD, and I wrote a list. So, you know, fast forward to the day where I'm actually going to go in there and say my piece. And we've already been through a number of, you know, different venues of trying to work things out and all of that. And I said, okay, now I have to actually be the one to deliver the message. That was a hard day. You know, a friend of mine gave me the advice, even though I'm the negotiator, I always take teaching moments as well, right? And he said, you know, write your list. You know, I forgot my training.
Real quick, the message being that you wanted
a divorce.
I did want the divorce. Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying there. And so, but it was still a debate. It was still an argument. And so I went in with I took the time. I wrote out my list, trying to be thoughtful of all the hurt and all the things that I knew would come with this event. And, you know, the list really helped me. It really helped ground me, because like you were saying, I forgot who was saying, but you know, when you're hot to bring it down, it's really hard to do. And you know, that type of scenario is like, it's like gasoline and fire, mm-hmm. right? And so, but the list, and then seeking win-win, mm-hmm. right? You know, both parties have to acknowledge that something's going wrong in the relationship. And this wasn't something that, you know, should have been a surprise. And it wasn't a surprise, but I think it was the hurt of the moment that caused it to be hyper emotional. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, I didn't get angry because, you know, it turned physical. Right? Mm-hmm. She's like, where are you going? Mm-hmm. You're not leaving me.
Whoa.
Right. And it got real, really fast. And that's the other place where the list helps you, because it centered me. It allowed me to be grounded.
Yeah.
And just say, okay, these are the real reasons this is happening, not to mention the fact that you're swinging. but let's really talk about why this is
the decision you came to.
This is the decision I came to. Now we need to move on from here. And I have to tell you that taking that experience changed my perspective forever.
Huh. Wow.
So all I can say to you.
How did it change your perspective? Like, what were you before that? You know, well, like, how did it shift?
I was even more headstrong, right? Uh-huh. Former athlete,
we're alpha male.
We do what we do, you know.
Right.
But you know, you're seeing the pain in someone's eyes, even though that's someone you're looking to break away from.
Yeah.
Seeing that pain in their eyes really sort of changed me, because I realized, you know, I had the roadmap in my mind.
Right.
I had the arguments that I was going to deliver, uh-huh. but in the moment, you're like, wow. This is really happening. And, you know, I have to take care with this person's feelings because this is something that will affect them for the rest of their lives. So, you know, I didn't come out a hero.
Yeah.
Right? She was obviously angry.
Yeah.
And it went the way it went, but I'm doing much better now. And
yeah.
As you can see, and family is happening.
Thriving. Mm.
But the tool's in the moment.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to that. Yeah. And, you know, some other things that I would advise people to do, ask questions.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I did in that moment, in those moments as well, is asked her, well, how do you think this is going? How do you feel about what we do? If we're arguing every day, which we were at that point, and we're not happy, where do you think this goes? What's going to happen when kids are involved?
Yeah.
You know, and I had grown up from a bit of a broken home, so I didn't want that for my kids.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so
it's really interesting. I mean, we all grew up in a broken home, and we are very much so advocates of breaking the lineage mm-hmm. and the curse, right, that we were given. And but you said something that's really important that really resonated with me, because in times of major conflict and or just complete opposite ends of the spectrum, when you start to lose your thoughts, right, if you don't have your notebook in front of you, mm-hmm. what happens is you automatically revert to mm-hmm. the training that you've prepared for this moment, right?
Yeah.
Which is probably not the best.
It's probably not the best. Yeah. And the only way to really get training is through experience.
Yeah.
And that's why I think for me, I remember when I met my wife, and I was very blunt with her. I said, look, I basically said, hey, I'm JD. Nice to meet you. I'm under construction. But I promise you I'm worth it. Like that's, I might as well have said that, because I was very transparent with her, open and honestly, early on, to say, I'm under construction. I've failed in every relationship, but one thing I come with is experience, you know?
Yeah.
I know what didn't work.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think, you know, but to Losa's point, like my training failed me. I didn't have the proper training, right? And mm-hmm. because I kept pointing the finger at everybody else in arguments. It's not me, it's you. Like, you know, Losa was kicking us off earlier, you know, jokingly or maybe you're serious, but it's like, you know, I'm always right.
Both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was my mentality. The way I grew up, that's why, Jay, when you opened up the episode and saying, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? When I say used to it, that's how I was raised.
It's so interesting, you know, to piggyback off of that. I think when I started turning the corner on how to deal with arguments was I had to take a step back and to realize that the argument usually has more to do with we're not even understanding each other right now.
Right.
And so I have to like always check myself in the argument and be like, you know what? What I'm trying to convey to you, let's say it's something small like the tea bags. Let's say it's small like the tea bags. I'm trying to convey to you that I don't want the tea bag in the sink.
Right.
What would happen is You left the tea bag in the sink again?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, hey, babe, I threw the tea bag at. It's no big deal. But can, you know, can you do that next time?
You know what that comes down to?
What?
Delivery.
Yes.
Exactly.
Is everything.
Exactly.
It is one thing. I'm going to give everyone free game right now because my best man gave me this.
Drop a gem.
Here it is.
Asshole.
No, I'm with you on this.
No,
here,
for real, drop a gem, bro.
My best man gave me this a long time ago. And he said, you can have the greatest message on earth to give to somebody. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yep.
Like, here is the message to save your life or to win $1 million, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you fumble that delivery,
it's not
that person
get taken.
Never receives that message.
Yeah.
There it goes. So delivery is everything. And also, Chris, you said seek to understand rather than be understood.
Right.
Seek to understand rather than to be understood.
Yeah. And you know, also what I was saying was like, I even repeat that to Shan when we're in an argument.
Yeah.
Not that phrase, but what I was saying earlier was like, what do you want out of this argument? What do you want on the other end?
That's a great question. Is that one of your questions?
That's one of my questions.
Yeah.
That's
what do you want out of it? So then I can understand. So when we do get hot, if it does get hot and you say something that's off the wall, mm-hmm. I'm going to be like, remind you, like, look, what we want out of this, you want this and I want this. So let's bring it back to here.
That's a win-win.
Yeah.
That's a win-win right there.
Yeah.
I just realized I've used that tool for years. I think I've used it with you before in certain instances.
Oh, probably,
where
yeah.
We've talked about an issue that we had with somebody.
Mm.
And I said, I don't remember if it was to you, but I've said this to other people before when they've asked me questions. I'm like, well, what's your goal?
Something that's fairly obvious, but I think we've all sort of touched on it is, you know, respect in the exchange.
Mm.
Jared was going right at it. You know, what do you want out of this? And part of that is, you know, how do you want to be spoken to? And I think we, you know, I said very early on between Lauren and I, we had that conversation. She came from a completely different household than I did. Mm. They exchanged, let's say, aggressive language between them.
Yeah.
And that was not something I had I wanted any part of.
Yeah.
I can relate.
We had that early, right?
Yeah.
And we had that conversation. I said, you know, respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? There's a reason it's big, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even enter, as mad as I will be, I will never deliver that a level of disrespect to my partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regardless of the subject.
Yeah.
What happens when it's a trigger, right?
Sure.
As you said, it's personal, it's meaningful to you, but it's let's go with the trigger route.
Mm-hmm.
But that person who is being told that they have a trigger doesn't realize it's a trigger, right? How does that elevated person in the moment, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to phrase it, how does that person help guide the one who's triggered to realize this is something that is a common thread, this is something that's a trigger? If you realize at this point in time we argued about the same thing and you remember how you felt and it's the same way now, how does that person help guide the other person to come to a win-win?
So now you're getting into some really deep stuff, because there are times when you need objective third parties if it is serious enough.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Because you may not be equipped to deal with
this. Is
that
something, I'm sorry to kind of throw off, but that's something that you encounter a lot in the business world? You guys actually use a third party?
If it's serious enough, we use an arbitrator.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So a level below a legal intervention, but we use that.
Okay.
But in relationships, again, you may not be able to step up.
You may not have an arbitrator.
This is when therapy comes in, right?
Yeah, okay.
But if it's smaller, you're going to have to resort to your tools, and then you're going to have to break, and you're going to have to employ
walk
all those
them through
things,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
So for you and your wife, if you don't mind me asking.
Sure.
Coming from two different backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
where and how did the middle ground get established?
Well, again, it starts with having two people that are invested, right? And if you don't have two people on a similar trajectory, it's not going to be easy no matter how many tools you have.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we said, you know, I had to let her know what it is that I wanted, and she let me know what she wants. She doesn't like when I behave a certain way. I don't like when she behaves a certain way. And we had
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
That having that dialogue, being able to do that and sit down and do that on sunny days,
right?
Because I didn't approach it in the moment.
No,
I did it in the moment and on the sunny day. Having that honest dialogue is necessary, right? And it'll serve you for years to come.
Shan, just like you, she come from, not you, but just like in Lauren, they come from a household where it was, you can call someone name and it's just what it is. It's not a thing. Yeah. And in even her prior relationship before me, it was very argument and name calling, yelling type of relationship. I don't operate like, just like you're saying, please no. I don't operate in arguments. Like it gets, it's really hard because I know with me, if I start to get going, it's hard for me to do that break. Let's just talk about this. Let's talk about this. I can't get going. Yeah. And so one thing that would get me going is if you called me a name. And so when we first started dating, it was like she would yell a name out. And I'm like, yo, we're not going to do that. That's not going to happen.
We're not going to do that
because I will never call you a name. So I expect the same in return because I know that you have the ability to communicate with me without calling me a name. So then we've established that. And honestly, like out of all my relationships, we have the best arguments. Like we still getting arguments all the time.
Of course.
Yeah. We still getting arguments. But at the same time though, like we are able to get through them. I remember one time her mom was here and we got in a big argument. It was about the baby. It was because when I was there during labor, so I saw the whole thing. It's fireworks. And they probably won't hear it, so probably it'll be weird.
I thought something was fine.
Yeah. No. dropping guns.
Dropping my gems.
So we had, and it's not the wildest argument, but this was a argument. We had an argument about the baby, and I was there during the labor, so I saw that. So I knew in my head, when we got home, I wanted her to do nothing. Just chill in the bed, relax, nothing. So whenever the baby wake up, I'll pop up, grab the baby. If she grabbed her first, I'll grab it from her arms, and I would start to, like, clean it up. And I just wanted her to not have to do anything. Like, just sleep. Don't worry about it.
That was your message, but your delivery.
My delivery.
How was it?
No, so it got bad. It got crazy.
Give me the baby.
No, it wasn't like that. It was just like, oh, I got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll clean up, and she'll be like, you want me to get the diaper? No, I got it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
she's like, do you not think I can, like,
that's where it got to. So. And then we got in a big argument because she was like, I feel like you're not giving me any space
with the daughter.
Yeah. You're taking what I'm trying to do and you're flipping it into this negative when I, in my head, I'm only doing this because I don't want you to have to do it.
Right.
And so it took me a moment to sit back and be like, okay, I had to admit to myself that I understand how it can look that way. Mm-hmm. I understand how me wanting to do all of it makes you feel like I don't think you can do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it was one of those moments where we got in a big argument. Her mom heard, everybody heard. And then when we came out the room, we were resolved and we went about the day.
Yeah.
And everything was good.
But Jay, that's awareness.
Yeah.
If you couldn't get to that level of, let me just try to understand where she's coming from. You guys had the same event and you were having two different experiences.
Yeah.
You had that awareness to be like, oh, I could totally see how this could be taken the wrong way. My sole intention is to let you just live your life, however you want to live it, for the next whatever couple of days. You just went through labor.
Yeah.
Like, let me take any load I can off you. And she's taking it as, oh, you don't think I'm equipped to be a mother?
Yeah.
Right? So that's, and that's the thing too. I think sometimes things get missed. A lot of that at times can get missed in the moment because someone is so stubborn. Yeah. Someone is so narrow-minded. Someone is so closed off.
Yeah.
Right? Because the old version of me would have been like, I'm helping you out.
Yeah.
This is for you.
Well, that's the path I started to go down, you know? That's the path. That's the reason why the argument got crazy, because that's the path I started to go down. Because I was like, because it's so hard to not be like, what you're experiencing is completely not true. Right. When it's reality is like, no, it's true to her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that experience is true to her, but it's not true to me.
And you can't even, you can't argue with someone's experience
exactly.
or their feelings.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I used to try to argue with women's feelings. You can't, what are you talking
we
about?
We all did. We all did.
Yeah.
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 We all did.
Yeah.
And I was like, now, oh man.
Yeah.
Thank God, we can.
You know what? There should
this.
Be a high school class on speaking to women and relationships. I mean, it's not covered in health
just
and biology, but just don't.
Just don't. That's you open the book up and it says, just don't. And
then but we could save so many men.
So,
so
many.
Much trouble.
Yeah.
If you're a
young
man, and women.
Yeah.
If you're a young man and you're listening to this podcast, just don't talk to women.
Don't listen.
Save yourself.
No,
do not.
No.
Save yourself.
Seek to understand.
No.
Not to be understood.
Do not listen to him.
You got
to
obviously.
No, because listen, because you have to listen. Because then it's like, oh, you're not listening to me? Dog, you can't just don't do this. You got a Nike shirt on. Just do it. You have to, like, you got to find your lane. You set yourself up for that.
His mic drop. He's out.
Single guy leaves the set. See you, bro. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you got, because dog, I tried that route. I try to be like, you know what? I'm not even going to, like, oh.
No, yeah, no.
Yeah, you're joking. You're joking.
So my feelings aren't valid?
Yeah.
Oh, so my feelings aren't important to you? And I'm like, no, that's not, I'm just, you know what I mean? So, but I think trying to argue with how someone feels, that is a lose-lose. There is no such thing as a win-win in that book.
Right.
Like,
right.
You can't argue how, big or small.
Yeah.
Like, there's something my wife, in the early stages of our marriage, she had a hard, in our relationship, rather, she had a hard time having empathy for certain things that I went through in childhood. She's like, what's the problem? Kind of basically, I mean, not literally, but basically she was like, well, if I was dealt with that, I wouldn't be traumatized by it. And I'm like, but I was.
Yeah.
And she had a hard time. Like,
understanding.
But those are my feelings.
Yeah. No, that's real.
And there's times vice versa where today I'm just like, what's the problem? Fix it. And she's like, it's not that simple. I'm like, it is for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so it's relative. Yeah.
I think it's so important for people to really understand men and women that you just have to try to respect, you want to hear someone's feelings and then ultimately just respect it, because you'd want the same in return.
Have you ever got to the point where in your argument where, not in a specific argument, but you've been with a person where you start arguing about dumb shit? Like that, you're arguing on a whole different level, but it started with pizza.
Yeah.
I know.
I remember me and my ex, we got in this big argument over this pizza. It resulted in me getting run over.
What?
Whoa.
Yes.
Wait.
Hold on. Hold on.
My immediate follow-up question is, did Pizza Hut text you at 3 a.m.?
No.
Okay.
What?
Did Pizza Hut text you at 3 a.m.?
Well, you said you were arguing about pizza. I was like,
we did.
Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. I got it. No.
It's a dad.
No. So what happened was, we were in her car.
It went over me.
I was like,
stuck on you got run over. Can we get to the you
I
run
didn't
over
get
part?
Fully overrun okay. over. I was here's the deal. Here's the deal. So, we were in her car, and I can't remember what started it, but we ended up on this pizza, because we just went to the grocery store.
What type of pizza are we talking?
It was like it was like DiGiorno's. Like,
oh, it's
like,
not worth fighting over.
No. Oh, yeah. DiGiorno's is great.
No, but it's not worth fighting over.
Not DiGiorno's. Worth getting hit by a car. Yeah. For yeah, sure.
Definitely not.
So, but yeah, this is what I mean. So, over. We had so much problems in this relationship. It was so toxic that yeah. pizza.
Yeah, it was the tip of the iceberg.
It went way up. Yeah. Nice. So we get in the car. Sounds we start talking about the groceries or whatever. And I guess, I don't know if I got the wrong pizza or something happened where she said something slick like to me while we were in the car. And then we started arguing. I'm like, what? Why? Like, what is going on? So we were arguing. And then I don't remember. Oh, I was in the passenger seat at the time. Mm. And I made the move. Like, I'm getting out. This is too much.
Of a moving car?
No, we were parked.
Oh,
okay.
Oh. We were parked.
You hit the lock on. You're like, oh, you ain't getting out.
No. Where that was going. It's just like, I'm getting out.
I was like, that's your fault.
Yeah, exactly. No.
I'm getting out because I'm not going to just get yelled at in this car.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So I open the car door. I go out and I start walking around the front.
Dog, you never walk around the front. What are you thinking?
Wow.
But I think at the same time, I don't know if she was trying to hit me.
She hit the gas.
I was gonna say, what, she accidentally hit the gas?
Because I think she was, I think in her head she was gonna speed off. You get what I'm saying? Like right. when I got the yeah, car
over you.
Over you. Yeah.
So, I think she was gonna speed off, so she hit the boom boom, and then like I jumped to get on top of the hood because I wasn't gonna get just hit. Like, so I jumped on top of the hood and I'm on top of her thing, and she was like, "Oh my gosh!" And she hit the brake.
Oh.
I went flying off.
Oh man.
Then we got out. She got out to check on me. And then we had.
Oh my God, I hit you.
Yeah. And then.
Oops.
So then, this is going to be a segue right here because this is what happened. So after that big argument, I got up off the floor.
Yep.
We went into the apartment and we had amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing, amazing makeup sex. So, my question to you guys.
That's healthy.
Did she cut you the next week?
What do you think?
Involved in this makeup sex?
This is like, a different kind of relationship, my friend.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think about makeup sex?
I mean, any time that you mix passion, whether it's passion that's aroused from anger or attraction or whatever it is, anytime that you have a elevated emotional experience intertwined with sex, it's going to be leveled up.
Like,
makeup sex, you get to take to another level.
Yeah, yes.
You get to get some stuff out.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, we've been arguing about this damn pizza for weeks. Yeah. Let me show you.
I may have said no pepperonis in the argument.
Oh yeah.
But I'm getting my pepperonis
right now.
I'm gonna get
the and the best is the next morning. You look at each other, you're like,
fuck that pizza.
Yeah. No, we did a good thing. Right, did a bad thing, but a good thing.
This is a win-win.
What do you think about makeup sex, JD?
I've only really been in one very toxic relationship. They've all been argumentative, but one specifically, like, very toxic. But it was, when we had sex, it was great. Because to your point, Lois, like, when the passion is there, whether it's used for good or bad, it's there, whether you like it or not. But what I will flip it on, and this is another segue, is...
Are you not going to ask the question?
Is I that did.
No
details?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I was looking at it for some more.
Hold on, switch gears.
Go. Let's go.
What did he say? Did he like it or not?
He likes it.
Oh, okay, okay.
I am pro.
Okay.
Oh, he likes
it? I am pro.
Okay, flip it.
Go, JD. Tell us about your makeup sex.
Here we go. Details. What was she wearing?
We're all getting into this, JD. Go.
Big nipples or the...
Oh, my God.
Pepperoni.
Sit back. Someone cut his mic.
Say for it. Pineapples. Let's go.
Ones with a little itty bitty.
Okay.
Did she do some strange for some change? No.
Well, that would be weird if y'all were already in a relationship.
It was a hooker.
Oh.
Flip the question like you were.
Continue along. Too far.
Okay.
Pineapple.
You just went over the edge.
Okay. So. In that same relationship where it was very toxic and there's a lot of toxic sex, she took us What's going on right now?
Sorry, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. Go ahead.
My laugh is just continuing. Yeah, I got you. 30 seconds.
Listen, Los is contagious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pause. But he is contagious.
I'm contagious.
It's 2020. We can't say this anymore. Yeah, I know. Can't say contagious.
Yeah. 2021. No, but okay.
I'm not contagious. I don't have anything.
No, not yet. Oh, contagious. Shit. I can't. That's the wrong word right now.
Yeah.
Well, whoops. It's never a good word. Like, honestly, the fact that R. Kelly and Ron Isley got away with the whole song where they said "You're contagious,"
that's true.
Just shows how good they were.
Okay. Jared's like editor brain. He's like, everyone, shut the fuck up. He's talking enough to edit all this shit out.
Yeah,
okay.
It was all good stuff. There we go. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It is.
So the one issue that I have with toxic sex is, and I'm at fault too, but one of the two people involved can take that as a, oh, we're okay now, right? Mm-hmm. So in my specific situation, that girl, whenever we'd have toxic sex, she would put a Band-Aid essentially on the problem, right? Mm. I can have toxic sex, I'll sleep it off, and the next morning I'm like, so let's talk about what we were arguing about, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like,
we just
had sex, we're fine, right? Yeah. And I'm like, no. I was like, oh man, like, and I was like, that's what. So sex for men can be with no feelings attached, no strings attached, nothing. We can just have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Women typically put their emotions into it as well, right? So again, that girl was putting a Band-Aid on it. Like, we're good now. And I didn't realize that until like a couple times we'd have this toxic sex. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this.
Mm. Yeah.
I'd have to shut down a great joy of mine, which is toxic sex.
I really love toxic sex.
Yeah.
Even after the sex, like, you guys couldn't revisit the conversation?
She would think we created
thought
a solution.
That the sex was the...
She
that's
thought
rare.
That was
that's really
yeah,
rare.
Yeah, because usually, if Shannon and I have makeup sex, like, at the end of it, like, we could, like, talk about the argument and be like, and
big
we're
time.
Both calm.
Big
that,
time.
So yeah. that girl that I'm talking about?
She could not.
Were y'all having argument sex? Because there's a difference between makeup sex and argument sex.
Right.
Like, makeup sex, the problems have been hashed out.
No, cool. No.
Like, mm-hmm. argument sex is like we like heat of the moment.
But
like,
even argument sex, right. even
argument, no, argument sex yeah. is fire too. Like, yeah. they're all fire.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not good.
No, sex is great.
Sex is fantastic.
No, you've never been like heated.
Oh, we have. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're in a heated argument, and then just out of nowhere, it's just like,
let's just get
it ripped off.
Yeah, yeah.
Resolved versus unresolved.
Yeah,
yeah.
Argument unresolved.
Yeah,
can't talk about it the next day after makeup.
Yeah,
sex?
That's so crazy.
No, makeup, I think you can still talk.
But
it wasn't
makeup
day.
Sex. It was right. not makeup
it
sex.
Was it was argument. Sex.
It was argument sex. Yeah. It was
okay.
toxic
also
sex.
Also fire.
And she took that as like, that's the solution. Like, we're okay now. We pushed under the rug. We put a Band-Aid on it. Let's just go about our Tuesday.
Right.
That's so. That's wild to me, because usually it's like almost like the time thing, right? You get distance from your emotions with it. Hmm. You should be able to, after the sex.
One
you're
would
in,
think.
But, I know,
but,
that's
but my
so
good friend,
she did not.
Common sense
is not
so common.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
and unfortunately,
that's a gem.
That's
it's
so,
not a JD's gem, but it's a
not,
gem.
It's not. So with that being said.
Why is it not JD's? Someone else said it?
No, yeah. I mean,
that's
sorry,
an
I didn't
old.
Say
oh, okay.
Half the gems I say are not mine.
But you have to give credit.
The other half are, though. But no, like my English teacher, Miss Thomas, used to say that to us.
Common sense, like common.
It's not.
Okay.
So thanks, with all Ms. that being Thomas. Said, like,
she was awesome.
And listen, it is, what is common is there's a lot of people out there who would just think that that's the solution. We had sex, we're good now.
Mm.
And I'm like, no, the problem
sense,
is still here.
Yeah.
You can have sex every hour in the hour. The problem's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And
so what about the power of I'm sorry?
Ooh.
Is I'm sorry, is it effective? Or if delivered too soon, does it seem somehow disingenuous?
Disingenuous.
Yeah, you have to give it
a good apology.
Yeah, you have to give it a little time.
And stop with, and again, because everything is not so common, right? Stop with the, I'm sorry, but.
Here's the other one. I'm sorry that you.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you heard me wrong.
I do that sometimes. Okay. I do that sometimes.
Because
yeah.
as soon as you say you, you're
yeah,
not
you
sorry.
Yeah, you ruin it. You ruin it.
Now,
you ruin
now
it.
What you're doing is you're trying to tell me that my feelings aren't justified.
Yeah. Right. Or no, I don't say that you, but I often say, I'm sorry that I made you feel this way. And sometimes it kind of gets jumbled up. It kind of gets jumbled up. But then I follow up like, well, my intentions were to do this. Like, for instance, for the baby thing. Mm. Like, oh, man, I'm so sorry that I made you feel this way. But my intentions were really to help you. Like, and so
but
it gets,
still you're just brushing over her feelings.
It gets, yeah,
you're
it gets
focused on what you,
yeah,
I, yeah, I, right?
It gets jumbled up.
I think there needs to be a very long as you need, mm-hmm, pregnant pause after I'm sorry. Just let it marinate. Just let it okay, sizzle a little bit. Like, I'm sorry.
You know what's interesting? I don't want the sorry.
You know what's very interesting? Piggyback off your piggyback. I said that today.
Yeah, I don't want the sorry.
I said it to my wife. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't care about sorry.
The sorry doesn't do anything for me.
Exactly.
It doesn't.
Yeah. But again, different people love differently. Right. Yeah. They experience it. Some, for some, sorry is really important.
Yeah.
I need both because I need you to acknowledge, mm-hmm, right? Like, I need you, in order for me to trust that you're going to address and fix the situation, I need you to acknowledge that you know that you fucked up.
Yeah. Mm.
And so by saying you're sorry and apologizing it's the right way, not like, you know, I'm sorry that you took it this, but actually taking accountability, you're acknowledging, you know, the error and what you've
100%.
Done. And so for me, I need both. I need the confirmation and I need, okay, now we know what the problem is.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do moving forward. And I try to do the same. If there's a problem, I want to apologize and acknowledge that I fucked up and then tell you what I'm going to do moving forward to, you know, correct.
Well, it makes you want to continue the conversation, like, because you know that they're invested as much as you're invested.
Have you ever had somebody apologize to you and then you instantly, and you could be in the right, like you could be 100% in the right, but when that person humbled themselves and came to you and apologized, you instantly started finding ways to be able to reciprocate the humbleness to that person.
Oh, 1,000%.
I appreciate it, but you know what? Like, you know, I could have done it. So yeah. I think that, like you say, the power of I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes just, you know,
it's
taking,
infectious.
Taking ownership of what you do will inspire the other person to do the same thing.
It's hard for a lot of people to say sorry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't want to just out of stubbornness.
Well, it's pride. It's pride. It's ego.
Yeah. All of that's wrapped up.
So my thing with my toxic trait in arguments is I do that. I like to, because I don't value the sorry. I value the action. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like, oh, you know, I can see how you feel that way. I'm sorry about that. And that's my toxic trait.
Right.
What are some of your guys' toxic traits in arguments?
For me, for sure, it is, as much as I keep preaching, like, seek to understand as opposed to being understood.
Good.
I am trying to drill my point across to the death of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to talk Tom Blue in the face. and sometimes I fail at seeing someone else's perspective. I fail at seeing someone's, respecting someone else's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why does this bother you so much? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, exactly.
Chris is,
I know how that's going to be received.
Yeah. But no, my wife's sitting there drinking her wine, like,
yeah.
Sometimes I have a problem with like listening to hear the person instead of like, oh, like I was saying, sometimes I zone out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it happens with me every now and then. And not that I zone out in arguments, but like I can zone out in my listening. You know what I mean? Where it's like I'm listening to you, but I'm not hearing you. You know what I mean? So, or is it I'm hearing you, but I'm not listening? Whichever way you like it. Apply it in that fashion, in that order. But you get what I'm saying. So, those are my toxic traits.
When I think about how I argue in a relationship, it's toxic when I start to treat that like I do a negotiation. And it's a bit cold. Yeah. Right. In that exchange, we, you know, what I try to do is create that space.
Yeah.
And in creating that space, you know, sometimes it leaves the other person, like Lauren, with the sense that I'm trying to escape the negotiation.
Right. Yeah.
When in fact, what I'm trying to do is de-escalate.
Yeah.
Right.
So that we can come back at this and be productive.
Yeah.
And so then it turns, it actually escalates. It can have the effect of escalating the argument.
That's interesting.
And so it actually works against me. So I really do have to check that.
Yeah.
Because her style of arguing requires a certain type of resolution on a schedule.
Yeah. Right.
And if I'm not ready to deliver that resolution, then we've got to check.
Yeah,
we've got a misalignment of wants and needs there. And so, but again, I come back to sometimes you just got to hash it out.
Yeah.
And because we're both invested, we're going to give it that time, that due, and really make it, you know, get to resolution. May take more time than we originally thought.
Yeah.
But it definitely is something I have to watch out for in my own behavior.
Yeah. JD, let me ask you, if you, is there anything that Shay does that you're afraid to bring up to her?
You set me up.
Wow.
Jesus. Is there anything that you haven't addressed?
Calling him out.
Look, look, this is what you just said.
Please do it on camera.
Let me reframe. Let me rephrase Jared's question for you, JD. JD, is there any problems or issues that you have with your wife that you haven't addressed in your household that you would now like to address
with thousands
on camera?
Of people. With thousands
that's
of
not
people.
What I said. That's
and that you're
said.
Ready to be eviscerated for when you get home.
Maybe that's not what you said, but that's,
that's
what
not what
you
I said.
Said.
Yeah. When can I move into that studio?
Yeah.
Is it ready already? Well, I mean, the garage is done.
The garage is done. Okay, cool.
I mean, it might be a little chilly,
perfect.
But you
love it.
Know.
Love it.
Now, so I remember on the live when I was asking people what they want us to talk about, someone asked, how do you approach someone with a problem in the relationship? Like, how do you approach your partner? And that's where I really struggle, because I'm like, okay, I really need you to work on this for us, because I'm not okay with it. It's not sitting well with me. And I'm sure you can give me a whole list of things as well. So I struggle with bringing up a problem to the person I have a problem with trying to keep a win-win, with trying to see the bigger picture, with trying to say it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about us. I really struggle with that. So I can't necessarily answer your question specifically because I'm currently trying to figure it out.
You media trained. Okay. You media trained.
But let me ask you guys this.
Let the looks you
don't sometimes you just get pissed off?
Yes.
100%. Like,
yes.
I'm just not going to say it on camera. I'm just not going to say it on camera.
What?
No, no.
Yo, hey, yeah, just everyone know.
This is my first time on the
being
show.
Fake as hell on this podcast. You know?
Look, hey, JD, let me just say, I don't think JD's being fake as well. I think JD's being smart. You asking that. Yeah. I can't think of the word right now. You plead the fifth, JD.
There you go.
They want to know.
They want to know.
They want to know.
You asking this man to incriminate himself.
No, maybe it would just inspire. Be like, oh, you could have told me that.
Check.
Perhaps.
What's check?
It's not checkers. It's chess.
Check, please.
No, that wasn't a check. That wasn't a check.
That was a check.
No, that wasn't a check. You moved a pawn.
It's your move.
You moved a pawn. You didn't move
it's
the check.
Move.
No.
Check.
You moved a pawn. All right, at the end of the day, do we enjoy arguments? Do we find it a little bit sexy?
It can be a little fun.
Yeah.
Bring some life to
that
it.
That could be a final
they're
thought.
They're necessary. They're part
it's
of
a final thought.
The human, the relationship experience. Why wouldn't we? Like, to think that you would exist every day not having some type of exchange, then you're just faking it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're two different people on different paths, potentially. You know, we're coming together to merge these two lives, but we're not the same person.
Yeah.
We have to argue.
We have to.
It's just going to, it's an eventuality, let's say.
Yeah.
Right.
I think as long as also when it's constructive and respectful, right? Like, you don't want to be in like destructive arguments all the time. That's not good. That's not fun. Like,
exactly.
But if it's the type of arguments where it brings you closer together because at the end of it, you've had a conversation and you come to a mutual understanding and whatnot, I think that, you know, I know for me, like with friendships, it strengthens the bond.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. You respect the person more because maybe you've learned some, you know, that they have a certain position on something, or, you know, they've exhibited a amount of intelligence on a subject that you didn't know that they had. But one way or another, like a lot of times when I have arguments with my friends, I leave with a newfound respect for them and a deeper friendship. So, yeah, I agree. Like a constructive, healthy, you know, respectful exchange amongst people is good for you, man.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's going to happen.
Yeah, the thing I find the most sexy is when Shan can get stern without provoking my ego. Like that is the sexiest thing to me. If you can get in an argument and you can go toe to toe without provoking my ego and you can get your point across and you're sure yourself, like I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I like it. So I need a little bit of fire.
Right.
I need a little bit of fire. Yeah. I need a little bit. Just tell me what you want, what you don't like. Yeah. I like it. So I mean, obviously it can get to toxic. Right. And then that's when it's not sexy. Right. And then it's just like, okay, we need to bring this back.
Yeah.
But I think arguments are a good sign of a healthy relationship. Arguments.
I agree.
Yeah.
Healthy challenges, healthy arguments, and someone that you can argue with.
Yeah.
Not against.
Yeah.
With.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because right? that's a big difference. It's a fine line. In fact, Shay told me that. She said, we did an episode on on Who Can Relate, and she said, it was finding the one and how we knew we were the one for each other. Mm-hmm. And she said, I knew you were the one for me because you challenged me more than anyone else. And I was like, that could be the opposite.
You yeah. know what I'm like, that could be the detriment yeah. of somebody.
Yeah. And she goes, no, the way we would argue and the way that in those arguments or thereafter, it made me think like, okay, I can do better. I yeah. want to do better. Mm-hmm. And here's how I will do better.
You probably do that by not provoking her ego. Putting her in a place without provoking that ego. Mm-hmm. It's guess. Really hard to do.
I guess, yeah.
It's really hard to do, but people find it sexy.
Check her, but you know? Don't wreck her.
Losey Jams. Losey Jams.
First well, ever.
On that note.
That was not my
there
first
go. Ever.
I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. And watch how you eat spaghetti in front of your significant other.
Exactly.
Here's what we're not going to do.
Don't eat spaghetti around women.